You know, it's been so encouraging to see people stepping out in boldness and courage this morning. I don't want to embarrass anyone, but, you know, Katie singing, that was brilliant, Katie. Well done. Dave stepping out prophetically, you need to write that down, that needs to go. We need to have that in the newsletter so we can pray over that. So can I encourage you, don't forget a word that you said. No pressure, but don't forget a word that you said. And then, you know, Di coming up and sharing. And I want to say to you, there's other words, there's other opportunities that people haven't taken this morning. And that's not a negative, that's just to say, I want to encourage you, this is a safe place. We grow sometimes when we take what the world would say is a risk, I would say as faith, to step out with Father. So don't discount yourself. And don't think, oh, it's all going to go. Listen, when we get it wrong, we support each other in family. It's not about a tick box exercise. It's about stepping out in boldness and in courage. And Di has just done my preach. So we're going to go for coffee now. I'm on his own. Well, maybe in 5 minutes. But I don't like tradition, but I have got a notice. And we thought, we've got a morning free of notices, and I'm going, yes. And I thought, oh no, I've got to give this one. So I'm going to quickly do that before. So last week I mentioned about a healing teaching weekend that Eastgate Community Church in North Kent are going to come and do for us. They're going to do a Friday evening and a Saturday day, and they're going to come and teach on healing, overcoming disappointment, and living in the tension of the now, but sometimes not yet, of the miraculous. And as I said, Pete Carter leads this church. He's a doctor. And I guess part of that is through his connection. But the NHS is now sending people to their healing rooms, because they're seeing healing. But they're also going to talk about, well, what happens when we don't see that? Because we come to a God who wants to heal. So I want you to put these dates in your diary. It's July the 9th, it's a Friday in the evening, and Saturday the 10th of July. And again, a bit like the encounter weekend that Dave Connolly's going to do, I can't make you be there, but I want you to be there. If you're part of this church family, I want you to be there, because I believe you will be touched of God to enable you to outwork his plans and purposes for us. I will put that in the news sheet next week. Oh, is it? That's probably why I've got that wrong then. So you can see I'm not gifted in administration. No, it is the 9th and 10th. So it's a Saturday. Why have I got that as a Friday? Is that right? It's a Saturday 9th? That's it then. It's Saturday. It's Saturday the 9th and Sunday the 10th. Yeah. You can see why I don't try and go on the front desk too often. Thank you, Kevin. That's most helpful, because everyone would have been here on the Friday. And thank you. Okay. I want to show you an aspect of the world's perception of empowerment. So roll cameras, Matthew. So that's just... I love the expression, and he hasn't got an expression, you know, of the surprise. But you know, we know as Christians that our empowerment comes from the Holy Spirit. We've had this verse quite a bit. In fact, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So over this next 6 weeks, we're going to be looking at different aspects in which the Holy Spirit empowers us. So this morning, and it's quite apt, and God's obviously going for us, we're going to look at being empowered by the Holy Spirit to be courageous. Many have stepped out this morning in being courageous. But a great biblical example of this comes in Acts 3. where Peter and John have just healed the man at the temple. And I'm going to read this to you. It says, "While the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, 'Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of him. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man who you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see. Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Christ would suffer. Repent, then, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. He must remain in heaven until a time comes for God to restore everything, as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. For Moses said, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Everyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from among his people.' Indeed, all the prophets from Samuel on, as many as we have spoken, have foretold these days. And you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, 'Through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed.' When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways." Oh, that was a lot of verses, wasn't it? I'm shattered now. But what's amazing, here's Peter, empowered by the Holy Spirit, acting in what I would describe a very courageous way. See, he's at the temple. It's a magnificent institution. It's a place where spiritual, financial, and political events take place. It's the center for those events within the community. It's an amazing place where the people, God's people, would come to worship in the presence of God. And in this setting, Peter stands up and preaches and proclaims Jesus through the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. And as he says, he's speaking to those who have blood on their hands. You killed Jesus. You handed him over. You preferred the murderer Barabbas to the God-man Jesus. He got very personal and he got very direct. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was standing before a group of murderers, I guess, and I suspect, the last thing I would engage in is the acts that they committed, the crimes that they committed. But here's Peter. He's calling murderers to repent. He's calling them to repent of the crimes that they have committed in killing Jesus. And not only that, he's just doing this amazing preach about our Lord Jesus. He's picking out that Jesus is the suffering servant, that he's the fulfillment of prophecy, that Jesus is the Christ, that he is a prophet like Moses, and he is the offspring of Abraham. I'd encourage you, Read those verses again in Acts and get stirred by what Peter is sharing. So this morning, I want to share three things that we can learn from Peter in regards to being empowered by the Holy Spirit to be courageous. And the first is this. But this doesn't move. There. No, that's gone back. Is there any reason why this is not moving? Oh, there you are. I do miss the screen up there. I feel like... Anyway. The first thing that we can learn from Peter is this. Our faith is to be public, not private. See, this isn't a trick question. Was Peter's faith, when he stood in front of all these people in the temple, was his faith public or private? Public. No. He says, you killed Jesus. And what are you going to do with that? Yeah, I would say that's a pretty public declaration. I'll just get a little hint of that. But yeah, I don't think he's messing about. I don't think he's not being direct. See, we live in days where most people are okay with our Christian faith, as long as it stays private. See, in speaking out, we find that condemnation, persecution of our faith is actually on the increase in these days. It's very difficult to speak out for Jesus. But you know, we shouldn't be surprised at this. But I will be surprised if this thing moves. Can you move it on? The New King James Version says this about 1 John 3:13. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. See, it's nothing new. It's nothing new. Do I think or do I know if our persecution is on the increase? I don't know. I think it's always been there. Since Jesus' time, actually. And that doesn't really matter whether it is or whether it isn't. What I want to go is to the truth of what the Word tells me. But what it can do is it can make us think twice about speaking in public. Speaking out. You know, none of us want to be shot down. Does anyone want to be persecuted? No, I didn't think I'd see many hands go up for that one. And I mean, look what happened to Peter in the end. They crucified him upside down. But then who did he worship? He worshipped the crucified Christ. See, for Peter, for you and for me, Jesus isn't just our Savior, he's our Lord. And he's Lord of our lives. And we should be giving him everything of our lives. And just think about this for a minute. Before you knew Christ, someone went public for you. Mike Hewitt went public for me. He spoke about Jesus. He publicly spoke about Jesus. And that connected with the hole that was in my heart of something I knew that was missing. See, somebody who knew Jesus talked to you about Jesus. And that's why you're sitting here this morning. See, we need to grasp that our goal in this life is not to escape by the skin of our teeth without persecution. The goal in this life is that we escape with saved souls. That we have this wonderful and this honoring and this privilege to talk about Jesus. And we have the confidence of knowing that this is a public faith, that when we step out, the Holy Spirit will encourage you and me to be courageous. Ooh. Philippians says, I can do everything in my own strength. No. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. And that's the wonderful relationship we have with our Father. He just doesn't say, there you go. He walks us. As we step out, he meets our needs. He empowers us to be creators. I didn't even do that that time. The second thing that we can learn from Peter is this. Peter was prepared. You never know when you're going to have opportunity to talk to someone about Jesus. You never know when you're going to have an opportunity to step out and pray for someone in healing. Or when someone might ask you questions about Jesus. So we ask, was Peter prepared for that day? Well, in one sense, no, he wasn't. He didn't have in his diary, 8:45 to 11:30, heal man, then preach to large crowd about their sinfulness. I don't see many diaries like that. I would like to see a diary like that, if that's anyone has a diary like that. But in that sense, he wasn't. And we're told, actually, if we read earlier in the story, that they were on their way to the temple to pray. It wasn't on their minds that they were going to heal and they were going to preach the word. And yet suddenly, empowered by the Holy Spirit, suddenly, in a split second, heaven touches earth. The man's healed, and the empowerment comes upon Peter to preach the truth to the crowd that were gathered there. But then, in another sense, Peter was prepared. What do I mean by that? Well, he was prepared through his time spent through reading God's word. And the Holy Spirit connected with his time and what he understood the truth to be and empowered him to preach truth to the crowd that was gathered there. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for good works. So not only does the Holy Spirit empower us, but God's word equips us. See, Peter wasn't speaking anything in his own strength. He was speaking from what the Old Testament prophets had foretold and spoken. He was drawing on that time he'd spent in God's word, and the Holy Spirit was empowering that word. It's important we spend time in his word. Scripture is inspired. It is useful. It equips us. But not spending time in his word leaves us unsure and less likely to engage. See, we're less likely to speak out and less likely to answer questions if we don't know what the word says. What the truth is. See, ministry opportunities are always there. Prepared people are not. And we need to be a prepared people. Our quiet times, our soaking times are so important to be in the presence of the Father, because not only does it tune us into his voice, but it gives us confidence in his word that whatever situation we might come across, Jesus is the answer. Jesus said, the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. How many times do we not say something because we're a bit unsure about what actually Jesus says about that, what his word says about that, what I'm to do in that? Where if we're grounded, if we're fed by the word, that gives us faith to step out. Peter was prepared for whatever his father asked of him to do. They were going for prayer, but then suddenly there was an opportunity for heaven to invade earth. And in their confidence in their father, they stepped out. And in his readiness, he was empowered and enabled to be creatious. The third thing that we learn from Peter in being empowered by the Spirit to be courageous? Is that not that? The Holy Spirit will empower you. The Holy Spirit empowers you and me to speak courageously about Jesus. See, we've read that in Acts 3, Peter was, what I would say, reacting very courageously. He's publicly preaching about Jesus at a temple to people who don't necessarily agree with him. Now, mass is not one of my strongest points, but I guess Peter and John were probably outnumbered. But did that stop them? No, it didn't. Peter was being courageous. But of course, Peter's always been courageous, hasn't he? He's always been the man with the flying cape. He's always been ready for the battle. He's always known, while Jesus was with them, as Peter the Lionheart. No. No, he wasn't. No, we know what Peter was like. Can you move that on, guys? Oh, there, thank you. Mark 14. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked closely at him. "You also were with that Nazarene Jesus," she said. But he denied it. "I don't know or understand what you're talking about," he said, and went out into the entrance. When the servant girl saw him there, she said again to those standing around, "This fella is one of them." Again, he denied it. After a little while, those standing near said to Peter, "Surely you're one of them, for you are a Galilean." He began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them, "I don't know this man you're talking about." Immediately, the cock crowed. That'd be hard for a crow to... Yeah, anyway, we won't go there. The cock crowed the second time. Oh, by the way, these they're being recorded now, so you might want to skip that bit that I've just... Yes, just get before God. And anyway, the cock crowed the second time. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken to him. "Before the cock crows twice, you will disown me three times." And he broke down and wept. They'd arrested Jesus. They were trying him. And they were going to crucify him. And Peter is warming himself by a fire. At a distance. He's trying to remain anonymous. He's trying to keep his faith very private. And yet, this blinking servant girl keeps on at him. "You're one of Jesus's guys." Peter's response three times, not once, not twice, three times, denies Jesus. "I don't know Jesus. I've never met him." He starts swearing. He doesn't know what they're talking about. Or he's trying to portray that he doesn't know what they're talking about. And you know, when you read Peter's interaction with the girl, what comes across to me is a sense of fear in his voice. Fear that he will be found out that actually he is one of Jesus' guys. He is trying his hardest and in a panic and in whatever way that he can, not to acknowledge that he's one of Jesus' guys. And yet let's go forward to Acts 3. Is this the same Peter that's empowered, that's healing the lame, that's speaking so confidently to a crowd who are murderers, who have killed Jesus? Is this the same Jesus, same Peter that's denied Jesus? Yeah. So what's the difference? Is it the setting? No. He's there. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. See, God doesn't do something outwardly with us. That's the same Peter was at the fireside that's in the temple. The difference is within. And what the Holy Spirit did in empowering him to be courageous. See, the culture we live in today is actually more like the days of Peter, I would suggest. And like Peter, we need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And when it comes to speaking about Jesus, our approach can be, okay, Lord, I'll speak when I have the courage to do that. That sounds, if you take that at face value, that sounds, well, actually, that doesn't work. See, the courage comes when we speak out. The empowerment comes when we speak out. Not before. Christ is your iron. He doesn't make you strong. He is your strength. I'd like you to close your eyes. As I say before, if you heard me fading, I want you to open them because you're probably nodding off. Okay? It's not spiritual. And I'm gonna read these words out. And if this is your heart's cry, I want you to say amen at the end. Because when we step out in courage, when we step out to speak about Jesus, it's an act of faith. Okay. Okay, I'm going to talk about Jesus now. I'm not sure I'm going to get it all right. I'm not sure I'm going to have the courage to finish it. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to open my mouth like the prophets used to and the children of God still do. I'm going to talk about Jesus. I'm going to trust that the Holy Spirit will empower me to say the right words and to take the courage to endure whatever happens as a result of talking about Jesus. Amen. Amen. So let those words come back the next time we have opportunity. This is exactly what Peter demonstrated to us in Acts 3. This is what happens when we're empowered by the Holy Spirit. But we need to step over the line in faith. We need to trust our Savior for who He is and to proclaim who He is. So I'd like us to stand now, please. And again, I'd just like you to close your eyes because I want to speak to individuals. And I want to ask this question to us all. Does the thought of exercising our faith in public make you fearful? And then I want to ask a second question. What is it that makes you fearful? See, fear tries to call God powerless. Fear says, you may have God, but he's not enough. You should still be worried. That's a lie. That's a horrible lie. His word, God's word, tells us perfect love casts out all fear. Who has perfect love? God does. And this is where I want you to use your imagination. I want you to pretend you're a mansion. A mansion has many rooms. But I want you to imagine whatever fear it is, whether it's the fear of speaking out publicly, whether it's fear of even contributing when we gather as family, whatever that fear is, I want you to imagine that fear is in one room. It's not running riot all over the house. It is in one room. And in that room, the door is closed. Now, I want you in your mind to open that door. for those that are finding that hard even now, Lord, I pray, give them the strength to do that. Give them the courage to open that door where that fear is. And as you open that door to that room, I want you to invite God's perfect love into that room. Can you sense it flooding in? You know, it's not a morsel. It's flooding that room of fear. It's filling it. God's perfect love is filling that room. It's going to every nook and cranny. His presence is filling that room. And when the presence of the Holy Spirit fills your room of fear, fear and all its baggage has to go. It has to go. Let the Holy Spirit come and fill you. Let it renovate you. Let it surprise you in empowering you to be courageous. Where once was fear, I pray courage will rise. We sang, strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. As we're waiting, as that Spirit is filling the room now, it is overcoming your fear. It is diminishing your fear. God's already decorating that room before you're even finished thinking about it. He's renovating it. He's changing it. Holy Spirit, show us how fear tries to disconnect the enormous power of the Almighty God. Let it come, Holy Spirit. Let that Almighty power come and flood that room. And if you can still feel that fear, open the door wider. Give it over. We want your perfect love, Lord, in every area of our lives. With that perfect love, destroy the fears we're facing. Lord, we want to live out your plans for our lives. So do a work in us, Lord. You know, Peter was just a fisherman. But God took just a fisherman and empowered him to do the miraculous. And I want you just to say, I'm just a whatever you might be. What that role, you might want to put your name in there. You might want to put the skill set you have here. But put it in there. I'm just But now God says, yeah, just as you are, I'm going to empower you. I'm going to equip you. I'm going to anoint you. I'm going to teach you how to grow in me. Holy Spirit, let it come. Let the truth come. It goes back to seeing who we are in Christ. Not who we think we are, who Jesus says we are, who our Heavenly Father says we are. But he says, look, if I can use Peter, I can use you. The atmosphere of this region is going to change through you. Through the way the Holy Spirit works through you. But Lord, we want our confidence to be in Christ. May we have the courage as we step out to speak your word, Father. But thank you that you'll give us the words to say. You'll anoint us. Lord, when we see you nudge to pray for that sick person, Lord, may we step out. May we bring heaven to touch earth. In seeing healing, Father. Lord, that word that Tony Vossel spoke over us, we want to claim that, Father. We want to take hold of that because we will be a courageous people. We will speak out. You know, as a culture, we like in this country to build people up so they can be knocked down, and we say it's not good. It's not good to build oneself up. Well, actually, in Christ, it is good to build oneself up because it's all about Jesus. So when you come, when we gather next week, whatever happens in the week, be open. That God would use you to step out courageously. I know there's probably more words go out the door than are said in here. Well, that will change. That will change. And you need to know again, this is a safe place to exercise those gifts. So Father, may we know the outworking of your perfect love in our lives. And don't let the enemy come and tell you he's going to fill that room again. You stay in the presence of the Father. You stay in his word, and nothing can come and fill that room again. Nothing. Father, we thank you. Continue to do a work in our hearts, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can. Yeah, of course you can, Rich. Yeah, you probably do.
Yeah, I've never found it easy to share the gospel with people, and I guess I'm not the only one here who feels like that. But last weekend, I was asked to go and see somebody in hospital who's terminally ill, and I didn't know this guy, and I was asked to go and see him, so I agreed to go, and went along to hospital, and he's been given a few weeks to live, got terminal cancer. And he's been involved in church over on and off over the years. And I went in, and my friend who asked me to go was already there. And they were having a conversation. And the guy, we wasn't going anywhere, the conversation. And the guy, I just let him talk, must have been for half an hour, about his life and where he'd lived and his family and things he was pleased about, things he'd regretted. And I was thinking, Lord, how am I going to turn this round into a conversation? Because this guy really needs to know where he's going. And I'd been asked to go and share the gospel with him. And when it was coming to the time when we had to go, I thought, well, I've got to say something. I've got to turn this round into a meaningful conversation. And as Richard was saying earlier on, at that point, I didn't feel the confidence that I just had to take the step. And I just asked him, I said, well, Colin, where do you think you're going to go when you die? And at that point, I really felt an empowerment of God. And I was able to just tell the gospel to him in a way that I don't ever remember having been able to explain to somebody before. And I wasn't embarrassed by it, because I can really understand what Di was saying. Because when we go out and tell somebody about what Jesus has done on the cross, humanly speaking, it makes no sense. It's only when you connect with it in your heart, and you connect as somebody who's witnessing, but you've got to try and take that to the other person. But God can do that, and only he can, and it's when you step out that happens. And I was able to witness to this guy in a way that I'd not done before. And it was a very powerful time. And I've really felt God's presence with me. And we didn't manage to bring him to a point of decision. But next time I go, it was over in Wales, next time I go, I'm going to go and see him again. And trust that God will bring him to know himself. But it was really just the stepping out, and exactly what Richard was saying, that at that point, that's when you get the empowering.
Thanks, which is so helpful. Thank you. I just want to encourage us with this. When we grasp what we carry, we will change this region. When we understand that, not here, but it's outworking here in the love. You know, when we come into contact with people, It's like we said, we might not know what to say, but when we start speaking, God will empower us. But also, what we carry, the world has nothing in comparison that it can offer. It has nothing. So go and be encouraged and step out. And we love and we look forward to hearing the God stories of what God does with you in your community, in your circumstance. Because that encourages us. That's so encouraging what Richard shared. And the fact that we don't know what we're going to say, but God says all you've got to do is open your mouth. Amen.